Chapter 7, The Mind Trap. Top of chapter quote, a Buddhist saying, as a thing is viewed, so it appears. Human reality is the tale of two fields. One is infinite, and the other a technologically generated simulation designed to ensnare and seduce perception into believing in a real world that's not real at all. Imagine an infinite version of Wi-Fi being overlaid with another information field that is far more limited. I don't mean that the whole infinite field is overlaid, only a tiny part of it that we now call human. The simulation, when compared with its own illusions of space and distance, is very small. It is an informational and perceptual prison, isolated and separated from the infinite field of the all that is. I say separated. In fact, nothing can actually be separated from the infinite whole, but you can be perceptually separated, in that your experience is one of isolation and separation without the influence of expanded awareness. I'm going to focus in this chapter on the simulation, what it is and how it works, before dealing with the non-human forces behind it. Different dimensions of reality exist as different bands of frequency and interpenetrate each other like radio or television stations on different wavelengths sharing the same space. Or at least, that's the way it can be experienced. I'm not talking about dimensions taught in science class of width, height, and depth with the addition of time to make a fourth. I mean levels of perceived reality that can be seen, sensed, and experienced. I would say once again that these dimensions are really created by the observing consciousness. The limits of perception create the illusion of dimensions or bands of frequency. If your perception, what you can tune into, be aware of, and connect with, is limited to the simulation within the speed of light, then that becomes your world or dimension. Many call this one the third dimension. If your conscious awareness, perceptual limit, can extend into what is known as the fourth dimension, then there is no third or fourth. There is only your dimension, represented by the extent to which you can perceive reality. Dimensions are limits of our conscious awareness created by the observer, and one size doesn't fit all. They are what you make them. The all that is in awareness of itself perceives all reality and will have no sense of dimensions or perceptual sectors in the way that its more limited, quote, parts do. Reality is one seamless, infinite field of possibility and probability, waiting to be manifested into an experience by the perceptions of the observing consciousness, whatever form or level of awareness that may take. Everything is the perception of the observer. I will, however, use the terms third, fourth, and fifth dimension to keep it simple in the sense of third dimension, the simulated world of perceived matter, fourth dimension, the realm of mind from where the simulation is projected, and fifth dimension and beyond, expanded and infinite awareness outside the simulation. They are all the same infinite awareness, but not all are equally conscious, equally aware. A heaving, swirling ocean and a block of ice are made from the same substance, while being incredibly different in manifestation. Mind is the ice to the heaving, swirling ocean of expanded awareness. Mind is made ice-like by the simulation, which limits its sense of perception and therefore its frequency and sense of awareness. Mind is expanded awareness under lock and key. The answer is to break the lock. The simulation was created to seize control of perception and sense of reality by hacking into the relationship and interaction between, quote, human consciousness, mind, and the infinite field. To repeat the point, reality is one seamless infinite field of possibility and probability waiting to be manifested into an experience by the perceptions of the observing consciousness, whatever form or level of awareness that may take. Put another way, the perceptions of the observer decide what experiences we manifest from the infinite field, C, of possibility and probability with which we constantly interact. We too are an expression of that field, and as such, that is always our potential possibility and probability. Yes, all of it. How much of infinite possibility we are accessing decides everything. Nobel Prize-winning physicist Werner Heisenberg, 1901 to 1976, said, quote, "Atoms or elementary particles themselves are not real. They form a world of potentialities and possibilities rather than one of things or facts," end quote. What activates them into particular experienced potentialities and possibilities? We return to perception. It's all perception, which dictates how and what we observe, which in turn dictates what we experience. How we perceive equals how we observe equals what we experience or think we do. What we believe we perceive and what we perceive we experience. It works like this. Our thoughts and emotions generate frequencies related to those particular thoughts and emotions. The totality of these frequencies are collectively represented as an energetic field that we know as perception. Different thoughts and emotions, points of observation, will produce different perceptions and frequencies in this perceptual field. It is through this field, this aura, that we interact with the simulation field and the infinite field of possibility and probability. Different perceptual states will connect with and manifest correspondingly different possibilities and probabilities. Here are two simple examples. Your perception is that you are an insignificant little me who has no power to influence your life, experience, and no potential for anything beyond the mundane. You are therefore a follower of those who do believe they have that power. You know your place. It is for others to reason why, and for you just to do or die. This limited perception and self-identity is represented energetically in your perceptual field, which reflects in its frequencies that same state of limitation. Your limited perceptual field will connect with like frequencies in the infinite field, and the possibilities and probabilities that you interact with will reflect your perception of self and reality. A feedback loop is established between you, your perceptions, and the frequencies those perceptions represent in the fields. And in this way, your perceptions become a self-fulfilling prophecy in manifesting an experience to match your perception. A little me perception becomes a little me life. What you believe, you perceive, and what you perceive, you experience. Indeed, if your perceptual field is so limited and low in frequency, you are doing little more than interact with the simulation field, which is designed to dictate your whole life. At that point, the Matrix has you. And that's the very goal of the cult and its masters. By contrast, if your perception and self-identity is one of limitless possibility, of being an expression of infinite awareness having a brief experience called human, your interaction with the fields is transformed, and so is your life. Your expanded sense of reality and identity becomes a correspondingly expanded perceptual field resonating at a much higher frequency, and you interact with the infinite field of possibility and probability in a far more expansive way. Your expanded perception becomes an expanded experience. Awakening is simply an expansion of perception and self-identity out of the fast asleep five senses. Those who go through this process, and the numbers are now phenomenal, notice that synchronicity comes into their life that wasn't there before. Daily experience becomes peppered with fancy seeing you here. What's the chances of that? And bits of luck appearing just when you need them. This is nothing to do with luck. Your expanded perception is interacting with expanded swathes of possibility, and far more becomes possible. You are creating a different reality from different perceptions. I experienced this all myself. A quote I saw on the internet captured the process. Accidents happen, that's what everyone says. But in a quantum universe, there are no such things as accidents, only possibilities and probabilities folded into existence by perception. End quote. This is the last thing the cult wants you to know, when not knowing is the foundation of human control. The cult and its initiated assets are well aware that perception becomes reality, and that if they control your perception, they will control your life. Global society is structured to this end through cult-owned education, media, and Silicon Valley to dictate the information that becomes perception. What is the fascist censorship of media and big tech in the COVID era, except control of information to emphasize the official narrative and silence any challenge to that? While these psychopaths are directing your experience by downloading your perception, they want you to believe that what happens to you is random chance. They want you to believe in good luck and bad luck and arbitrary happenings. The worst nightmare of the cult is for the population to realize that perception becomes reality. People would then have the power in their own hands, minds, to change their reality. This is where the simulation comes in, with its fake reality, to confuse and control. The simulation field shares the same, quote, space as the infinite field. And the idea is to manipulate the perceptual fields of the population to attach to the simulation field. The interaction that follows mimics that with the infinite field, except the simulation is not infinite and both limits possibility and entraps the mind in a reality that appears to be real but isn't. Oh no, that can't be. The world is natural. Okay, so what is natural? What do you have to compare with natural to show the difference? If everything you see is the simulation, the answer is that you have nothing to make that comparison with. At least with a virtual reality headset, you have normal reality to compare. And even virtual reality is becoming so sophisticated, you soon won't be able to see the difference between headset reality and normal reality, which is itself a simulation. We are being taken into a multi-leveled virtual reality illusion from which we are not supposed to escape. But we can. If you think that the current level of human technology is amazing, strap in. It's still the Stone Age compared with what is possible. Even then, the cutting edge of technological advancement within the human world is originating in other realities. Have you noticed there is no break in the ever more sophisticated technology and devices that seamlessly flow into the public arena? This can happen when the technology has been waiting to be played out for eons by the non-human source behind all of this. Technology has not been randomly invented. It doesn't have to be. The human mind had to be carefully developed to have the intellectual capacity to work with this technology while being so spiritually regressed, wisdom regressed, that they cannot see they are building their own prison cell. We are observing this all around us today, and the process has been happening step by step for what we perceive as centuries. AI and surveillance technology is rolled out from the deep underground military bases, known as DUMs, all over the world, where interaction takes place at the deepest and most compartmentalized levels between human scientists and engineers answering to the cult and the non-humans that control the cult. Here, technology and know-how is transferred from non-humans to cult cabal, much of which is also non-human, as I will come to in an upcoming chapter. Cover stories and cover people are then used to explain where the technology came from to keep the public in ignorance of where it really came from. Society-changing technology invented by chance by geeks in a garage is a cult favorite to hide the truth. You know, the front people who parrot and personalize these cover stories, they are the very famous and very rich big names of Silicon Valley and the wider world of big tech. This is why I say that people such as Gates, Musk, Zuckerberg, Brin, Page and company are not running their giant corporations so much as fronting up for that which really controls them, the cult. When Elon Musk says he believes we could live in a simulation, it's because he knows that we do. They all do. The non-human force has technology generating the simulation that makes ours, even at its current state of advancement, look like starting a fire by rubbing rocks together. This technology is located in the fourth dimension, what I will call 4D, outside the range of normal human awareness. In the same way, the machines in the Matrix movies operate outside the simulated reality they are generating. The fourth dimension is also known as the astral planes, the realm of mind, and believed to be, in esoteric circles, the frequency bands through which we enter and depart, quote, physical reality. Near-death experiences mostly take place in the astral or fourth dimension, where out-of-body states can also happen, known as astral projection. The astral is known, among other names, as Barzakh by Islam and Yetzirah in Judaism, and is once again a common thread in religions and ancient cultures. Barzakh means limbo, barrier, partition, obstacle, hindrance, separation, and is said in Islam to be the stage between death and resurrection to the hereafter. Other references to the astral include the dreaming of Australian Aborigines, Duat of ancient Egyptians, Bardo of Tibetans, and universe of Asiya to Kabbalists in the Jewish mystical tradition. The fourth dimension can conjure thoughts of something way out there, when in fact, in frequency terms, it's really close. The consciousness field of your thinking mind is located there and directly interacts with the body five senses through the brain, or appears to. The brain is only a processor of information delivered by the mind and not the origin of consciousness. The brain, too, is an illusion in the sense of physicality. There are caveats to everything for reasons we'll see in a moment. We cannot see the consciousness field that is the human mind with our normal sight sense. But you are thinking with that fourth dimensional field as you read this book. The astral itself has many layers of frequency, depending on the awakeness of the mind, and one is known as the lower astral. This is the realm of demonic entities, malevolent and confused, quote, ghosts, and those that manipulate our experienced world in ways I will be describing. I have referred to this lower astral realm in books going back to the 1990s as the lower fourth dimension, with the two terms interchangeable. The lower fourth dimension is very close in frequency to the human realm, and entities can pass between them. Reports of seeing strange figures or animals unknown on Earth could well be astral phenomena briefly crossing the frequency veil. When I say fourth dimension, or 4D from here on, I mean the demonic lower frequency levels, unless I make it otherwise clear. In this fourth dimension, or astral, the simulation is projected as wave field information into the human mind, which decodes this into a 3D illusory physical world. Think virtual reality headset or a computer decoding Wi-Fi. Human interaction with virtual technology is mimicking the interaction between mind and the simulation field. The whole caboodle is controlled, monitored, and overseen by artificial intelligence way beyond anything we see in human reality so far. The simulation is being projected directly into the mind at the fourth dimensional level to be decoded into a sense of 3D physical reality. The idea is to hijack the perception of mind and focus its attention in a fake simulated reality of holographic illusion that lowers its frequency and triggers a disconnection from the perceptual influence of fifth-dimensional expanded awareness. When I ponder on this, I see the consciousness field we call mind trapped in like a Wi-Fi field, constantly feeding the information source of the simulation. The prime separation the manipulators seek is fourth dimensional mind from fifth dimensional expanded awareness outside the simulation. All other separation and senses of separation come from this prime separation. Mind is decoding its own perceptual prison cell. If this is done unconsciously and without question, the mind decodes whatever the information delivers, and it reminds me of an old tea advertisement in which a monkey says, "Do you know the piano's on my foot?" And another monkey, sitting at the piano, replies, "You hum it, son, I'll play it." The simulation hums it and mind plays it until the simulation scam is revealed. Mind is decoding its own Alcatraz, believing it to be real. In doing so, the focus of mind is mesmerized and focused on the simulation and shuts out all else. Awakening is restoring that connection, which is why the sense of reality in those awakening is so different to those still entrapped in mind and the five senses alone. Fourth dimensional AI is greatly in advance of anything in the simulated 3D world, although we are getting closer with the scale of technological possibility transferred piece by piece through the underground bases. The transfer is happening within the perception of mind and not in the physical. There is no physical. It's all happening in the mind. This is the reason for my caveats and riders here and there. What appears to be an interaction between mind and the human brain and body is another level of illusion when seen from the bigger picture. Our entire simulated reality only exists inside the mind, including the brain and body. The mind is not in the body. The body is in the mind. You are reading this book with your mind. Where does that mind appear to be? How do you experience your mind? It appears to be in and part of your body, right? Your body dominates your mind's sense of reality. It seems to dictate the boundaries of you and possibility. Your body is massively influencing your mind's sense of reality, like wearing a virtual reality headset. In fact, your mind is operating in 4D, while your body is in 3D, which is a simulated projection decoded by your mind. Therefore, your body must be in your mind and not the other way around. Observe the Matrix movies, which for whatever reason portray these concepts literally and symbolically. They don't enter the Matrix with their bodies, they enter with their minds. Take the location of the characters when they are outside the Matrix to be their mind in fourth dimension, decoding the simulation, and you get the dynamic. A probe is inserted into the back of the neck or lower brainstem. The probe connects them to the information source of the Matrix, and their brain begins to process that information into the illusion of a physical realm that is nothing more than a decoded source of information. The brain is not the origin of consciousness, it is a processor of information from any source within its range of operation. Put on a headset in a virtual reality game, and the brain decodes that information into events and happenings. But the brain is still a figment of the manipulated imagination of the mind. It's not real as we perceive it. The brain and the headset are both inside the mind. Everything in the simulation is inside the mind. It's all a technologically generated dream. The brain is part of the simulated information projection that fourth dimensional mind decodes into a mere sense experience of reality. Human virtual reality is a virtual reality within a virtual reality. The metaverse, promoted by cult-owned Mark Zuckerberg and others in cult-owned Silicon Valley, is another layer of reality illusion to further bamboozle human mind, perception, and self-identity. Zuckerberg may not be the sharpest pin in the box, but he's surely not stupid enough, given his cult connections, not to see what the metaverse is really designed to do: seal human perception away in even deeper levels of illusion and separation by further mesmerizing the mind. Fourth dimensional mind is fed the information that it decodes into physical reality. This includes the body brain, which are part of the simulation, as encoded information fields decoded by the mind into holographic physical, it says here, illusion. The mind believes it is in the body when the body is in the mind. The belief that the mind is in the body leads to the mind believing it is subject to the limitations of the body and five senses. At one end of the feedback loop, the mind is creating, decoding, the, quote, physical body, while at the other end, the apparent limitations of the body impact on the perceptions and reality of the mind. Observe how, when people get ill, they think the body is the governor of that outcome and not the mind. They are given a fatal diagnosis and they think the body governs the outcome. A doctor's "how long do you have" verdict becomes the period in which the person dies, purely from the belief, mind, that the doctor must know. In fact, the mind is master of the body, but the mind is manipulated to believe the body is in control. Talk about the trap. The mind simulation mind feedback loop works on the same principle. You could liken this feedback loop to an audience in a theater unknowingly projecting the movie on the screen and then having their perceptions changed by the movie. We have human virtual reality technology that makes it appear that you are inside the body. Experiments have clearly shown that the mind can be manipulated to believe that a false hand is its own. You see people react at what is done to the false hand as if it's been done to them. Tricking the mind is a doddle. Tricking expanded awareness is quite another thing. I was interested to see, as I was completing this book, that Buddhism has a version of the mind-to-mind feedback loop. Buddhism speaks of the three realms: realm of desire, realm of form, and realm of formlessness, which are all created by thought. Quote, "Whatever I think, that I see. The mind creates the Buddha. The mind itself sees him. The mind is the Buddha. The mind is Tathagata, an enlightened one, put most simply. The mind is my body. The mind sees the Buddha. The mind does not itself know the mind. The mind does not itself see mind." End quote. That pretty much describes in part what I'm suggesting. Mind creates reality, and mind sees the reality it creates. Mind does not know, unless awakened, that it has created what it sees. Then there is the famous Buddha quote, "The mind is everything. What you think, you become." This is correct, although in my way of seeing reality, mind is not everything. Mind in a programmed state is what blocks us from the everything. Conscious and subconscious you are in the fourth dimension where your mind is located, and you are decoding the information source of the simulation into the illusion that you are in a 3D world of solidity and physicality. You are no more in that world than Neo, Morpheus, and Trinity when they enter the Matrix in the movie series. Where do we live? In our own minds. I did say we were going deeper than ever before. The awareness level called mind is often referred to as the ego, and I have seen that defined as a point of attention. Exactly. The reality of any level of consciousness is its point of attention. In human form, we are a point of attention within infinite awareness. We are not infinitely aware because the human point of attention, perception, perceives limitation and not infinity. This is the whole foundation of human enslavement, controlling our point of attention from which all else follows. The simulation is a dream world, yes, but the dream is externally generated. If you think of something now, say wild flowers in a field on a beautiful sunny day, this will be called imagination. The simulation, by contrast, is information encoded with data for you to decode into wild flowers on a beautiful sunny day, to project an illusion that appears so real and tangible that you believe you are in that field with those flowers under the sun. The first is imagination, and the second is manipulated imagination. And this is what the simulation basically is, manipulated imagination. As Morpheus says in The Matrix, quote, "Have you ever had a dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real? What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?" End quote. The awake dream and sleep dream are continuations of the same dream. It is all a dream. And as Edgar Allan Poe said, all that we see or seem is just a dream within a dream. End quote. When it comes to the relationship between mind and the fields, the dream is the dreamer, and the dreamer is the dream. Can we escape the simulation dream? Yes, we can, and I'll come to that. But first, how did human minds become trapped in this cycle of illusion? I've been saying for years that the creation of the simulation is described at the start of Genesis. There's a lot of truth in biblical texts, often obscured by symbolism taken literally. There are also serious twists to deceive. Many times, quote, God, allegedly singular, is described in plural terms such as Elohim. The line about the sons of God interbreeding with the daughters of men is translated from text that actually says sons of the gods, plural. This amalgamation of multiple non-human gods into a single god has changed the whole meaning of the Old Testament, which describes an angry, bloodthirsty, and jealous God, which we are supposed to believe is also a loving God. The biblical claim made that there is no other God but me will be put into context in a later chapter. I say that Genesis is describing the simulation when the text says that in the beginning, God, the gods, created the heaven and earth, the holographic simulation of heaven and earth. Genesis says, quote, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light." End quote. But what is this light? Ancient texts and many near-death experiences describe a very different kind of light outside the body than the fierce electromagnetic light of the human world, the simulation. They often use the symbolism of water to describe energy and reality beyond the human realm. You see terms such as watery light and the light that casts no shadows, in contrast to the fierce electromagnetic light of our reality. Let there be electromagnetic light, and there was electromagnetic light, might be a more accurate way of putting it. Electromagnetism within the speed of light is the simulation at the level that we experience. Quote, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, dividing the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so." End quote. The term firmament is described as a vast solid dome that divided the waters from the waters. And if we continue the theme of waters referring to energetic states, we have a perceptual limitation between the reality in or under the dome and realities outside the dome. There have been many depictions through the centuries of a dome around the earth. I looked up at the sky many years ago, and it took the form of an enormous dome. The highly symbolic movie, The Truman Show, released in 1998, had the leading character, played by Jim Carrey, born into the set of a television soap opera. No one told him, and he continued to live his life as if he was in the real world, while all the people around him were actors and actresses in the soap. Whenever he tried to leave the hidden dome, in which it all took place, something would happen to stop him. The sun came up every day and the moon every night, but they were part of the set. Eventually he realizes his life is an illusion and takes to what he thinks is the ocean to get away. He reaches the edge of the dome where he finds a door to the real world. I don't know if the writer was trying to symbolize the human plight or if he just thought it was a good story, but symbolize it he did. Genesis goes on to describe how God, the gods, went on to create animals, what we call the natural world, and how, quote, he made the sun, moon, and stars. What we perceive as infinite space with all the planets and stars is a holographic illusion projected into our minds that we decode into what appears to be physical reality. This would explain the paradox, often known as the Fermi paradox, of an apparently limitless night sky with a complete absence of life. Italian physicist Enrico Fermi said that with 100 billion stars in the galaxy, it was inevitable that intelligent life must have evolved elsewhere. So Where are the aliens? If you wanted to enslave your target minds in an illusion of isolation and separation, would you have your simulated reality teeming with life, or apparently devoid of life? In the same way, if you wanted to maintain humanity in ongoing ignorance, would you want them to see a panoramic range of visual reality, or confine them to the ridiculously narrow band of frequency known as visible light? Ponder on how the universe was created according to mainstream science, and you will find the continuing theme. They want us to believe in a Big Bang 13.7 billion years ago, when the universe was compressed into the nucleus of an atom, which they call the singularity, and this exploded to somehow, out of nothingness, create matter, energy, space, time, consciousness, and Mrs. Smith, who runs the corner shop. As American writer and researcher Terence McKenna brilliantly said, quote, "What these philosophers of science are saying is, give us one free miracle, and we will roll from that point, from the birth of time to the crack of doom, just one free miracle, and then it will all unravel according to natural law and these bizarre equations that nobody can understand, but which are so holy in this enterprise," end quote. Mysteries about how our reality emerged out of nothing can be credibly explained with no miracles required if science opened its mind to the simulation. What is human? What does it mean? Well, it means the human body, which decodes information through the brain and genetic system into a certain sense of reality. Mind decodes the simulation information source into a holographic body, and the body is encoded to perceive reality according to its program, and in doing so, impact the reality of mind, of which it is ultimately a projection. A human acts like a human because of the information program encoded into the body, just as an elephant acts like an elephant and a duck like a duck for the same reason. Human is a manifestation, an illusion of the simulation. It is the vehicle designed by the non-human force through which our fourth dimensional minds could be tricked into believing they are incarnate within a physical body in a physical world. The body is the way, in the perception of mind, that it interacts with this physical world, the illusory projection that the mind thinks is real. Picture characters inserted into virtual reality video games, which are manifestations of the game and respond to the codes and rules on which the game is based, its laws of physics. Now imagine consciousness experiencing reality through those characters and being so mesmerized by the illusion that the consciousness self-identifies with the character they are experiencing. Consciousness in that perceptual state would forget that it was the consciousness and believe it was the character as it responded to the rules of the game, the simulation. The body program controlled by the codes of the game would be mistaken for consciousness making its own decisions. 95% of human behavior has been shown to originate in the subconscious, not the conscious, mind. Observe most humans, and it's like watching a computer respond to data input. In a given situation, you can predict how most people will react in almost any culture or race. The situation is like pressing enter, and the program controlling the body then responds to program. The subconscious, in this sense, is the simulation. If expanded consciousness does not override the program running through these simulation human body inserts, then it becomes a mere spectator. The body program, responding to the simulation program, dictates perception and behavior for an entire human life. This would account for the press enter predictability of humans and why the majority unquestioningly do whatever authority tells them. In this sense, authority is pressing enter with its decrees, and the human body program responds with the same obedience as a computer. I include in this cultural programs. Minds perceiving through different cultures tend to adhere to those programs, rituals, and ways of doing things. Okay, familiarity from childhood plays a part, of course, but the body also carries those cultural blueprints through DNA. Relatively few break out of these programs and take another path at odds with the culture they were born into because of a combination of upbringing, in which guilt plays a major part, cultural programs running through the body, and fear of going against the cultural group. The Great Reset is designed through an AI connection to the brain to fuse multiple cultural programs into one monoculture program which everyone must follow. Humans who do not impact on their lives with expanded awareness are not only like computer programs, they are computer programs. The COVID era has put this big time on public display. I tell the story in Everything You Need to Know But Have Never Been Told about the cognitive experiments of Benjamin Libet, 1916 to 2007. Libet was a scientist in the physiology department of the University of California, San Francisco, and a pioneering researcher into the nature of human consciousness. In one famous experiment, he asked a study group to move their hands at a moment of their choosing while their brain activity was being monitored. He wanted to identify what came first, the brain's electrical activity to make the hand move, or the person's conscious intention to make their hand move. It had to be the second one, surely. Nope. Brain activity to move the hand was triggered a full half a second before any conscious intention to move it. John Dylan Haynes, a neuroscientist at the Max Planck Institute for Human Cognitive and Brain Sciences in Leipzig, Germany, later went much further with a study able to predict an action, wait for it, 10 seconds before there was a conscious intention to do it. Frank Tong, a neuroscientist at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, said, quote, 10 seconds is a lifetime in terms of brain activity, end quote. Where are actions coming from, if not us, the conscious mind? The only way for, quote, incarnate consciousness to escape the illusion and break the control, is to override the program. To do that, we need to realize that there is a program to override. Non-human forces, their simulation and the global cult within simulated human reality, are all working together to maintain the fantasy that the illusion is real. When consciousness can be tricked into self-identifying with the body, it is self-identifying with the simulation program. Doubles all round. The program rules, okay? There are three elements to human that bring clarity to our plight. They are, one, the body program insert that interacts with the simulation as part of the simulation, the, quote, computer game character. Two, the level of us called mind that operates in the frequency range of the fourth dimension and directly receives the projected information of the simulation, which it decodes into the illusion of a 3D reality, including the body. Three, consciousness in the fifth dimension and beyond, into infinite reality, which I will refer to as expanded consciousness or awareness. The simulation, while it appears to be a third dimensional or 3D phenomenon, is really a fourth dimensional reality, which is where it is all really happening. The 3D world of human is only a decoded illusion of 4D mind. The simulation's role is to literally hold the attention, the perception and imagination of 4D mind, and disconnect it from the influence of expanded awareness in 5D and beyond. Without that influence of expanded awareness to break the spell of the simulation, 4D mind remains at its perceptual mercy indefinitely until the spell is broken. What about the death of the body? I'll be discussing that. It is worth saying here that the 3D fake physical is not the only level of the simulation and its projected illusions. I've been detailing in many books how the foundation target of the non-human force, the global cult and simulation, is to disconnect body-mind from expanded awareness. One key way this is done is by constantly stimulating the central nervous system and its networks through electromagnetic interaction with technological radiation and Wi-Fi. Fear and stress can also do this by pressing the on button of fight or flight response with no off time to relax and chill. A constantly stimulated central nervous system will most certainly keep you in the perception frequency zone of the matrix. You are stimulated to be simulated. The illusion collapses once expanded awareness enters the mind's perception. 5D awareness, operating outside the realm of simulated illusion, can see what is happening. When people awaken, open their minds to 5D, they see what they could not see before. A quote in the first Matrix movie says, "The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around you, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged, and many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it." End quote. If we adjust the context of the simulation in line with what I have been describing, the quote would go something like this. The matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? A 3D illusion being decoded by 4D minds that we are trying to free. But until we do, these minds are still part of that system. You have to understand, most of these minds are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly mesmerized by the simulation, that they will fight to protect it. End quote. There was no human before the simulation, in the dense physical sense, that we recognize. That human is a creation of the simulation. Original, quote, humans operated in a much higher frequency reality with far less density. It was an ethereal-like 5D realm, and humans were consciousness in a state of oneness and unity, and not locked away in 4D mind, which decodes 3D reality as duality and polarity. The biblical story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden can be found in different forms in many cultures in their creation myths and legends about human origins. The common themes include humanity living in a paradise from which they were ejected and fell. The biblical version tells us how God, the gods, created humanity as Adam and Eve, and the serpent tempted them to eat the forbidden fruit, often dubbed an apple, from the tree of knowledge to know good and evil. Polarity, the simulation, good and evil. What was the forbidden fruit really? Humans in higher vibrations were tricked, tempted, and enticed into the trap of the simulation. As they fell down the frequencies from 5D consciousness into the much more limited 4D mind. This was the fall, when humans fell from paradise and became trapped in the illusions of the simulation, which appeared to be the paradise they left, but wasn't. I'll pick up this point in a moment. The villain in the Garden of Eden was the serpent, symbolic of the non-human creators of the simulation. Does anyone really think that the serpent in the garden was a talking snake? The creation of Adam and Eve, post-fall humanity, was key to deluding minds into experiencing incarnation, into a physical world and entrapment in the illusion of limitation, apartness, and isolation. What is the level of awareness that we refer to as mind? It is those aspects of 5D consciousness that were manipulated into a lower frequency state to become entrapped in the simulation. The fall and the ejection from paradise and the garden was when expressions of 5D fell down the resonance scale into 4D and became what we now call mind. Ever since that happened, mind has been trapped by perception in the simulation. Apart from those who have truly awakened and got out of here, the manipulation is all happening in the fourth dimension, and 3D simulation is only a means to achieve perceptual control of 4D mind by separating and isolating the sense of reality from an influence of the 5D consciousness that it once was and from where it fell. This is achieved by drawing the 4D mind sense of reality and focus of attention into the myopia and perceived limitation and separation of the body within the simulation. Amazingly, the simulation was described long ago in their own way by Gnostic people in a fantastic set of writings found in a sealed jar in 1945 near the Egyptian town of Nag Hammadi, an 80-mile drive north of Luxor on the banks of the Nile. They were estimated to have been hidden in the jar about 400 AD, and they have become known as the Nag Hammadi Library. The find includes 13 leather-bound papyrus codices, manuscripts, and more than 50 texts written by Gnostics in Coptic Egyptian. I have read through two books of translations, and the information is astonishing in the light of computer technology today. Gnostics and Gnosticism are not a race. They are a way of perceiving reality. Gnostic means learned, and gnosis is translated from the Greek as secret knowledge, which relates to understanding spiritual mysteries that reveal the nature of reality. Gnostic thinkers dominated the royal or great library of Alexandria in Egypt, which collected nearly 500,000 scrolls, manuscripts, and documents from across the ancient world, including Assyria, Greece, Persia, India, and of course Egypt. The Great Library was destroyed in stages by the Roman Church, which wanted to protect its fake narrative by eliminating Gnostic information. The censorship process of deleting truth continues to this day worldwide through big government, big media, and big tech. The dynamic has never changed, only the historical setting. Church tyrants oversaw the burning of irreplaceable works stored at the library, and you will find those that survived locked away in the vaults at the Vatican. A major attack on the Royal Library came in 415 AD, which led to the murder by the mob of Hypatia, a mathematician, astronomer, and philosopher. Hypatia was educated in Athens and was the head of the Platonist school in Alexandria, where she taught the work of Greek philosophers Plato and Aristotle. The time of her death corresponds with the estimated period when the Nag Hammadi texts were sealed and hidden in the jar. A quote attributed to Hypatia captured the Gnostic philosophy on life. Reserve your right to think, for even to think wrongly is better than not to think at all. End quote. How relevant that remains today. Such an open-minded spirit of discovery led to Gnostic insights that were thousands of years ahead of the mainstream world. They included the Earth orbiting the Sun 2,000 years before the discovery was attributed to Polish mathematician and astronomer Nicholas Copernicus. Gnostic belief also manifested with the Cathars in southern France, who were naturally attacked by the Roman Church with typical psychopathic insanity, and led to them being burned to death at the siege at the castle of Monségur in 1244. Gnostics were aware that death is only the death of the body and not consciousness. I have detailed in other books how the Vatican and its version of reality came out of Babylon and has been cult-owned from the start. Why would the cult not seek to destroy, via its Vatican, those who are exposing the illusions that allow the cult to control the human mind? Soul derives from the Greek word psyche, and hence the English psyche, which is defined as the mind or the deepest thoughts, feelings, or beliefs of a person or group. The way out of here is to open mind, soul, 4D, to spirit, 5D. This is a good point to emphasize how soul is different to spirit in the context that I am using those terms. Soul is an aspect of mind that still perceives itself, as with mind, in terms of individuality. It is correct, therefore, to speak of mind-soul, sense of individuality and apartness, and spirit, the 5D and beyond all that is, that has and lives the awareness that all is one. Mind-soul is involved in the reincarnation process, the trap, that I will be exploring. Well, spirit is way beyond that sense of reality and thus experience. Gnostic texts tell how a non-human force they call archons, Greek for rulers, made a, quote, bad copy of prime reality Earth, and in our terms today, we would call that a digital copy. Prime reality Earth still exists in higher levels of frequency and awareness from where humans fell, or consciousness fell, to become humans as we perceive them. Once again, you can liken this to making a copy of a website. At the start, both websites looked the same, and simulated Earth could have looked like Prime Earth, which may have led to the original entrapment. While Prime website reality continues to be what it always was, the copy can now be changed until it is a grotesque distortion of the original. I suggest this is what has happened with the simulation. It has been distorted beyond recognition and goes on being so to ever greater extremes. The Gnostic version of the Christian devil Satan is called Yaldabaoth, also the Demiurge. And texts say Yaldabaoth, a distorted, inverted state of consciousness, created the archons, which are the equivalent of the Christian demons. Gnostics say that the God worshipped through the Roman Church is Yaldabaoth, an expression of evil that created the material world, simulation. They say there are two realms which they call the upper aeons and lower aeons, infinite reality and the fake material simulation. They further made the clear distinction, as I do, between nous, mind, and noma, infinite self. And we see the theme in religions of the East with their Maya, mind illusion, and Brahman, infinite all that is. A Nag Hammadi text in the Bruce Codex describes the nature of the All, which Gnostics refer to as the Father. Quote, "He is an incomprehensible one, but it is he who comprehends all. He receives them to himself. And nothing exists outside of him, but all exist within him. And he is boundary to them all, as he encloses them all. And they are all within him. It is he who is the father of the aeons, existing before them all. There is no place outside of him." End quote. To Gnostics, the upper aeons are the realm of love and unity, or oneness, while the lower aeons are the fake reality or duality, the simulation of the archon manipulators. They define the lower aeons in terms of imperfection, darkness, the abyss, and hell, while labeling them the realms of fate, which, without the serious input of expanded consciousness, that is exactly what they are. By fate, I mean the way the simulation dictates experience without expanded awareness to override the program. Gnostic texts make the distinction between the spirit, upper aeons, and soul, lower aeons. Spirit is our connection to the infinite, while mind, soul are subject to the simulation, more later. Nag Hammadi texts call Yaldabaoth, their devil Satan, the counterfeit spirit which created the archons and bad copy lower aeon simulation, after they say he detached from his mother and left the upper aeons. This is yet another version of being cast out of paradise. Nag Hammadi documents say that what I am calling the simulation was a bad copy or reflection of upper aeon reality. The Apocryphon of John says, quote, Yaldabaoth organized everything according to the model of the first aeons. By using the power in him which he had taken from his mother and produced in him the likeness of the cosmos. This is the first archon, Yaldabaoth, who took a great power from his mother, and he removed himself from her, and moved away from the places in which he was born, upper aeons. He became strong and created for himself other aeons with a flame of luminous fire which exists now, end quote. Luminous fire equals the electromagnetic let there be light of the simulation. The biblical God is called the Lord and is quoted many times as saying, I am the Lord your God, while the Gnostic Yaldabaoth is known as the Lord or Lord Archon. Gnostics also refer to Yaldabaoth as the great architect of the universe, the simulation. And the cult-connected Freemasons worship their creator God as the great architect of the universe, or the grand architect. The creator of the simulation in the Matrix is known as the architect. Gnostic texts speak of the Christian Satan, Yaldabaoth, manifesting the bad copy simulation by producing, quote, in him the likeness of the cosmos, end quote, indicating what Gnostics call Yaldabaoth may be the energetic fabric of the simulation. Caleb Scharf, director of astrobiology at Columbia University, has said that alien life could be so advanced that it has transcribed itself into the quantum realm and become the physics of our reality. Quote, maybe hyper-advanced life isn't just external. Perhaps it's already all around. It is embedded in what we perceive to be physics itself. From the root behavior of particles and fields to the phenomena of complexity and emergence. In other words, life might not just be in the equations, it might be the equations. End quote. This would indicate, from my perspective outlined in this book, that human minds are entrapped within the entity known as Yaldabaoth, which is feeding the information that we decode into the simulation. Gnostics certainly portray Yaldabaoth as consciousness, not form, and archons as energetic fields of consciousness in their base state. Texts say they can take form as serpent entities and those that sound like the ET type known as the Greys. Yaldabaoth and archontic energy fields and their effect are always connected to the theme of chaos, inversion, and upheaval. The Nag Hammadi Origin of the World manuscript says, quote, "There appeared a force presiding over the darkness, lower aeons, and the forces that came into being subsequent to them, called the shadow, the limitless chaos," end quote. This sounds, along with inversion and upheaval, remarkably like the human world, and leads us down to the next level of the rabbit hole from which everything else comes. Nag Hammadi texts say Yaldabaoth and the Archons lack creativity or enoia, for reasons I will explain later, and instead developed the skill of imitation, which included, yes, what we now call virtual reality simulation. Their expertise is mimicry. John Lamb Lash, author of an excellent book about the Nag Hammadi texts, Not in His Image, writes of the Gnostic bad copy, quote, "Although they cannot originate anything because they lack the divine factor of enoia, intentionality, Archons can imitate with a vengeance. Their expertise is simulation, HAL, virtual reality. The Demiurge, in other words, Yaldabaoth, fashions a heaven world copied from the fractal patterns of the eternal eons. The Pleromic gods who reside in the galactic center. His construction is celestial kitsch, like the Italianate villa of a mafia don, complete with militant angels to guard every portal." End quote. They can guard, but they cannot stop if you are in your vibrational power. The relevance of fractal patterns will become clear. Nag Hammadi documents refer to the bad copy as a realm of non-existence, which is correct in that the fake world of the simulation is only a decoded illusion and nothing like humans experience it to be, fourth-dimensional minds perceive it to be. Gnostics use the symbolism of a shadow to portray the fake reality of what they call the lower aeons as a poor reflection or shadow of prime reality, upper aeons. One of the most profound descriptions of simulated reality came from the Greek philosopher Plato, about 428 to about 347 BC, who was a pupil of Socrates and a major inspiration for Gnostic thought. Plato's allegory of the cave tells the story of prisoners who lived in a cave and had never seen outside. They are chained and can only see one wall of the cave. A fire burns behind them, where figures walk past, casting their shadows on the wall the prisoners can see. The prisoners don't know this. They can only see the shadows they believe to be reality. Some became experts on the shadows that were no more than illusion. See today's mainstream scientists and academics. One prisoner escapes and sees that reality is not what he thought it was. He comes back to tell his fellow prisoners what he found, and they refuse to believe him. Plato used the allegory to symbolize the human plight, how accurate he was. Nag Hammadi texts use very different terms for that which exists, infinite reality, and that which does not exist, the fake world of the simulation, which they say is evil. Among Gnostic distinctions between them are fullness, deficiency, immortal, mortal, spiritual, psychic, spirit, soul, existence, non-existence, no time, time. Note the last one, no time, time. What we call time is encoded in the simulation as part of the perception deception. A Nag Hammadi text in the Bruce Codex highlights the difference between the existent and the non-existent. Quote, "And then the existent separated itself from the non-existent. And the non-existent is the evil which is manifested in matter. And the enveloping power separated those that exist from those who do not exist. And it called the existence eternal. And it called the non-existent matter. And in the middle, it separated those that exist from those who do not exist, and it placed veils between them." End quote. The human body is a phenomenon of the simulation to focus the attention of mind-soul that they are somehow incarnate in a physical world. It's a trap, in other words, and that too is how the Gnostic texts perceive it. They refer to the body as a prison and humans as sparks or droplets of the same essence as God that became trapped in their bodies, the perception of their bodies. Gnostics believed that humans would eventually escape. They described the body as a garment that clothes the spirit. The Corpus Hermeticum tells of, quote, "the tunic that you wear, the garment of ignorance, the foundation of vice, the bonds of corruption, the dark cage, the living death, the portable tomb." End quote. Firstly, there is the illusion of being in the body when the body is really in the mind. A classic example of the inversion technique of the non-human force that turns every perception and sense of reality on its head. We are not in the body. The body is in us. We are not in the matrix. The matrix is in us. Now it is plain to see why the mind and its associated emotions have such an impact on the body and why the placebo effect is so powerful. When people heal their bodies by believing that a potion will cure them, which is only a saline solution or similar. The body is a computer program, insert, connecting and interacting with the big program of the simulation itself. Gnostic texts urge people to rip off the tunic that you wear. But I take that to mean rip off its perceptual influence. To literally rip off the tunic by committing suicide is not to escape the trap, but to go deeper into it as a result of the emotional vibrational impact. I've been describing the body as a biological computer since the 1990s, and it is encoded with perceptual and behavioral traits to dominate the mind's sense of reality. Most minds are so controlled, so overwhelmed by the body data programs, they become the whole perception of self and reality for an entire human experience. Mind-soul goes AWOL and lets the body programs run the show. In this way, mind-soul doesn't direct the body directs mind-soul. We all know lots of people who fit that bill, and never have they been more obvious than since 2020. We must always remember, however, that the simulation is interactive, just as the internet is interactive. The simulation affects us, while we can affect it if we tap into 5D consciousness and express that into the simulation field. The cult and its masters have to control the frequency of that field to maintain perceptual and frequency dominance of its captive population, 4D minds. Open your mind soul to spirit and you become far more powerful than body programs. You can override them in terms of health, perception, and life experience. You start living life instead of life living you. They speak of mind over matter. It's really mind spirit over the illusion of matter.